Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's Ryan looking, throws end zone. Jones, touchdown Atlanta.
West Durham, Falcons Radio Network, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on the morning show. It is John Chukri in for John Fricke. Final day. I am in full-on vacation mode. Abe is in vacation mode. Hugh Douglas is in the house, though. He is hanging out with us this morning. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. Don't forget we're streaming online. It's at 929thegame.com. If you want to catch the show live, hear replays of all the shows, all the interviews, breaking sports news, our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Hugh, I see you got a phone, you got a tablet.
Put
on one of your devices, Commodore 64, Sega Genesis, whatever you got, Blu-ray player, Laserdisc, whatever you got. Download the app to catch us on the go. All of the social media for the station, it is at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those platforms available to you. Like us, follow us, interact with us, all that good stuff. The best way to interact with this particular show, Hugh, is to do it through our Twitter handles. You are at BigHugh53. I am at JMCH316. You want to be a part of the show and hang out with us? That's the best way to do it. So, as we said, going to be a busy show today, 9 o'clock hour especially. Carlos Bocanegra will join us for his regular chat at 9:20. Paul Rabel will join us, the founder of the Premier Lacrosse League, as they are in town this weekend. He'll join us at 9 o'clock. And 9:40, Brett, pronounce that for me. Make sure I've got that right. Stephenson, Brett Stephenson, who is the EVP and general manager of State Farm Arena, will be joining us as well, Hugh. So we got a lot of people.
Yeah, and they got a lot going on at State Farm Arena in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and they were just voted the best overall game experience in the NBA. So a lot going on there as well. But some Falcons stuff I want to get into. Hugh, do you get as much thanks about Pro Football Focus as Randy does? Randy kind of gets all in his feelings about Pro Football Focus.
Nah, not really. Nah, I mean, I look at it and I look at it from a perspective of most of the times when they rank the teams, I want to know how they got to their ultimate conclusions.
Right.
But most times, you know, it's from a national perspective.
So Pro Football Focus came out with their roster rankings. Falcons came in at the 11th best roster. Now, these are, of course, grades from last season. You know, they do all their grades and everything like that. They're not projecting. You know, we talked the other day, Hugh, about Grandpa Munster. You know, Grandpa Munster, Gil Brandt, put out his rankings going into the year. I guess you kind of understand why the Falcons are where they are with all the injuries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's actually kind of interesting, the fact that they are still 11th, considering that Deion Jones basically didn't play last year, Keanu Neal basically didn't play, Rico Allen, considering how many guys they had out and how many guys that they lost. But at the same time, you figure Matt had a really good year. Julio had a really good year. I mean, obviously no Devontae Freeman. Hooper had a really good year. Jake Matthews had a good year. But only 11. Now, Vic Beasley graded out as the lowest-ranked player on the entire roster. Does that surprise you at all that Vic kind of had the lowest grade?
Oh, wow. Like, damn. That's kind of bad. That's kind of bad. But Vic is poised for a bounce-back year. He's definitely poised for a bounce-back
year. Do you trust him? Do you trust him, Vic
Beasley? As of right now, today, no, because I don't know where Vic Beasley's head is. I know what he says he's been doing, and also hear Coach Quinn and him when he makes his comments about Vic Beasley. Coach Quinn has been as complimentary as you could be in this situation. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is this. He
as positive as he could be.
Yeah, all of that, because he came out and said, you know, hey, he has a plan for Vic. Yeah. Granted, they didn't spend the kind of time that he wanted to spend with Vic,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, he's been working in the offseason, and, you know, he's ready to play. He knows what I'm expecting. All of the things you can say in the situation, because you don't know. You're only going by what the player is telling you, and you've put it on him to be prepared for what you're about to give him. Mm-hmm. But as the eye test goes, you haven't seen enough of him to know if he's prepared for what you're about to do?
Let me ask you this question, because we Jarvis and I got into this discussion on when I was filling in on the Bunker Mentality, whatever it's called now.
The night show.
Oh, okay.
The show with no name.
Okay. There are times when I hear Vic Beasley, I ask this question, and this may be unfair, I understand. Do you think Vic Beasley loves football?
I think he does. I think it
I'm not saying the paycheck and some of the fame.
No, I think he does.
But does he truly love football?
I think he does, but he has a different way of showing it than the way that you and I are probably accustomed to seeing other guys. Like, everybody loves differently. Everybody grieves differently. Everybody handles certain life-changing situations differently. So I can't, you know, to be fair, you can't judge Vic Beasley's love for football by the way we love football, because it's different. It's a different kind of thing. Like, I could say that the way that Randy loves the game of football is different than mine. But I know Randy loves the game.
Right.
So it's different.
Did you love football?
Oh, I love it. I still love it. I love it to this day.
Because you say you and Randy are different, but I've worked a lot with both of y'all, and I know both of y'all personally. You love football, Hugh.
I mean, but I put it like this. It's expressed differently.
No, I can just – when I'm around you, Hugh, I get what you're saying about – I don't have to talk to you very long to know your love of football or Randy.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of pick up. You kind of feel like you pick up on it instantly. There are times when I hear Vic Beasley say some things that just kind of make me wonder if his love. I'll give you like another example. There are times when I wonder if Ben Simmons loves basketball more or he loves being an Instagram model more.
That's fair, because you and about like everybody else in Philadelphia feels the same way. Mm-hmm. There was a meme out there that had said, do you want to be shoot the game winning shot or be an astronaut? And they had Ben Simmons in an astronaut uniform.
Yes, I saw
that. Was
yes.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
It was.
Now, again.
And I that may be unfair. I get it. I understand.
People,
but perception. Remember we talked about perception yesterday.
Reality. Yes. Mm-hmm. But again, people view it and show different ways they love the game differently. Ben Simmons has come in. Think about it when Ben Simmons was at LSU and how when they found out that he was going to be a high draft pick, he kind of mailed it in.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
I mean, SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He was chilling.
Yeah.
He was chilling because he was getting ready for the next level.
Because yeah,
he knew where he was going.
He was only at LSU because that's what he had to do.
Yeah. So he was chilling. To be at this level and to have everything kind of come easy for you, I think he loves the game, but it hasn't been a struggle for him, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It has not. I don't know Ben Simmons' background per se, but I would venture to say that for Ben Simmons throughout his playing career, I'm talking about from Pee Wee till the pros, he's been the man. He's kind of been probably that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're coming in it that way, that's something you have a different perspective than a guy, say, me, or maybe a guy like Randy. Because I know a little bit of Randy's story. Randy wasn't the number one tight end coming into Georgia or anything like that.
Right.
He had to kind of work for what he wanted. He had to grind for it. Me too. I wasn't the highly touted defensive lineman coming out of school. They didn't even know what position I was going to play. So when you had to work for it, you look at everything differently. You don't take anything for granted. That's the difference. Now, some guys who have never known a hard day's work or have known adversity as far as playing against somebody who was better than them or been humbled in that sense, that's a different animal. That's you look at it differently. And again, I don't know Vic Beasley's story, but I would venture to say that since Vic Beasley was a young man, he's been one of the most athletic guys that was on the football field at any time. And that athleticism compensated for a whole lot of other stuff, and he was just head and shoulders better than everybody else. So your perspective of the game is probably different than somebody who had to work for what they want. Like James Harrison, for instance. He was Pittsburgh Steelers, I would say Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, he's a borderline Hall of Fame player in the NFL. Yeah,
dude, he got cut a couple times from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, he did.
Before he became James Harrison.
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah, Debo. Like guys like that. When you talk to them and you talk about the game, they have a different aura about it. because they know how hard it was to get to where they are. Some guys, it's come easy for them, and they don't have that same kind of passion or that desire that other guys have, but they still love it, but it's just different.
Hugh Douglas, John Chuckman for John Fricke on the morning show on Sports Radio 910, the game from the Key Studios. We talk some Falcons football. I understand. Money is always a motivating factor, because a guy like Vic Beasley is obviously paying for his next big payday. And the thing is, Hugh, is that the difference between a Vic Beasley that, let's say, he picks up another only 5 or 6 sacks this coming year, has a typical kind of season, versus, let's say, if he's 10 or 12 sacks, you're talking about, Hugh, in today's NFL, a 5-sack guy versus a 10 or 12-sack guy is...
The money is ridiculous.
$12 million a year different. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because now you're a 12-sack guy in the NFL, you might be in the $20 million range.
Yeah.
You are 5 or 6 sacks, you're maybe $8 or $10 million a year.
Yeah.
So I would think, if nothing else, the money motivation of what he has incentive-wise would make him want to put all of his focus and attention on being the best he can be.
But again, certain things, that might not be the motivator for Vic. That might not be. Vic might look at it like, you know, he's made enough money. He's put himself in position where if he wants to, he can go buy Chick-fil-A's franchise and be the owner of a Chick-fil-A and take that franchise and turn it into something else. I'm just using that as an example because I've seen guys do that. I've seen guys, you know, play in the league for a couple years, you know, go out and do something else because they have other interests. Like football was just a backdrop for them. And then I've seen guys who love the game so much that when they're done playing the game, they have trouble adjusting. Mm-hmm. It just all depends the way you came into it. But I think everybody has love for it. It's just different. And people use it differently, different platforms to get to where they ultimately want to be.
Do you think this 11th ranking is fair, given some of the injuries and things like that of this Atlanta Falcons team? Because I will tell you, if the – healthy and full strength, I still don't believe that there are five rosters better than what the Atlanta Falcons are. When you talk about rosters, you talk about quarterback, wide receiver, running back, group of wide receivers, tight end, line. I still don't think that there are five rosters I would take over the Falcons when you talk about a talent perspective.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. And, you know, for what Coach Quinn has been able to accomplish in a short period of time, I think that the Atlanta Falcons are right there. But, again, Chuck, we got boots on the ground. Like, we are here.
Well, it's the old Peter King theory. The idea is Peter King knows more, Hugh, about the entire NFL than you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I know more about the Atlanta Falcons than Peter King does because we're here every
day. Yeah, and that's why when Peter King comes to town, he does to the best of his ability in a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
getting as much information as he possibly can from guys like me and you. Like I've said with Peter, and you know, we'll talk a little football. There's nothing deep. But, you know, hey, man, what's going on? How you doing? What do you think of this? What do you think? You know, and like we all do, we will sit around and we will talk to different people. And I might take something that you feel about somebody and look at it differently and take mm-hmm. a little piece of that. I might take something that Randy says, take a little piece of that bunky right. pants. And then you formulate an opinion from what you already know.
What about me? You didn't mention me. You didn't mention me, Hugh.
Oh, and what are you talking
about? Mentioned me, Hugh.
You're talking about John Fricke.
You didn't mention me.
Everybody.
I sent you a vacation pic, Hugh.
But everybody.
As we roll along here.
The point is, freak on Friday. The point is, we all kind of formulate our opinions from a small sampling size of what we've seen somebody else.
Where do you stand, Hugh?
Sorry. I think that, honestly, I think the Falcons are a much better team than people give them credit for.
I do, too. That's why I talk about them as Super Bowl or bust, to you, because it's time to take all these guys and do it.
I tell you this, as a guy that has been in that position, I always reveled in being the underdog because they never see you coming. Like, when you look at, like, there are people that when they look at some of these people, these analysts on TV and these pundits, and when they say certain things, they look at their word as the gospel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I always like when they say, oh, the Eagles aren't going to do this, that, and the third or whatever. I love that because you're operating from a position of being an underdog, and that motivates me.
It's why I don't get hung up on the TV guys. They got 55 hours a day of TV they got to fill, and they got all this stuff that they got to put on there, and they got content, and I got to be hot take guy, and you know what I mean? It's like – that's why I don't get into that. I look at the local guys and things like that and figure it in a way where, Hugh, I glean my information from the guys I feel I can trust. Like, I don't, you know, again, they can put all the NFL guys in the world up on TV, and, you know, every one of them's trying to get into hot take mode because that sells. That gets you on. You've been up in that environment, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. You have to. You have a package.
Can I give you a perfect example?
Yes.
Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards is so much better now than when he first started on ESPN. Because when he first started on ESPN, it was Mr. Hot Take Guy, and I'd take RG3 over Andrew Luck in the draft, and it's like, okay, I got to, like, go soak my head in a tub of ice-cold water because I can't take this anymore. Now that he's got the gig and he's settled into his – when he was settled into his position – I know he's the Arizona State coach now, but when he was settled in his position, he was tremendous as an analyst because he didn't have to get in a – his reputation was already set. He didn't have to go hot take guy and try to set himself out from everybody else.
Yeah, but nowadays, especially when you're doing their job at the four-letter, you have to be hot taking. Who's the quarterback that just retired for the Jets? He had to be hot taking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's his name? McCown. Yeah,
Josh McCown.
McCown had to be hot taking.
Hey, Lanny.
That's how you do it.
Hey, Lanny, United supporters, Joe 92.9 The Game is coming Wednesday starting at 7 o'clock at Varner's Restaurant Tavern for the Atlanta United versus Chicago watch party. When we get back... I told you we got a lot going on later in the show, so we are going to get to an early edition. We are going to pick Hugh's brain. We'll find out how Hugh kills me off today. It is John Chuck. We're in for John Fricke. I'll be dead by the end of the day because Hugh's going to kill me off. Hugh Douglas, it's the morning show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning show. Hugh Douglas, John Chuck. We're in for John Fricke. Last day. John will be back next week. I will be in Fort Myers, Florida on vacation.
Florida.
Yep, and I will be sending Hugh Douglas a pic of either a beach drink or a palm tree.
And it will be
something.
Received because you are one of my coworkers. You will be received with all kinds of positivity.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Because I did not know that.
To
that, you know, some folks don't to you, find yeah. that kind of, you know, disrespectful.
Yeah.
When you
say well, I mean, I'm your coworker till you kill
positivity.
Me off.
Positivity.
You know,
I'll be like, hey, man, that is a great picture. Have a wonderful weekend. Have a wonderful Mai Tai or whatever it is at the Water World. You guys are awesome. I'm going to be more positive.
Hey, Hugh, look at me. I'm on vacation. You're not.
Hey, I'm not going to look at it that way. I'm going to be positive because, like I was told yesterday, it's an extended version of your family. Like, coworkers are extended version of your family.
Well, speaking
and
of
sometimes family's dysfunctional, but that's okay.
Speaking that's of okay. family dysfunction, since this is our last day together, and you know, I'm always trying to move into the team have status and everything like that.
Yes.
I want to try to get inside the mind of Hugh Douglas since we don't do Hugh's World anymore. So I'm gonna do something I used to do with Randy where we call this pick Hugh's brain.
All right.
This, of course, Hugh, 10 questions for our member of hashtag Team Have. Of course, he is the HBCU Hall of Famer, the man who took a one-year vacation in Jacksonville, three-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro, of course, Mansfield, Ohio, 70 miles west of where Chuckery grew up, the man who stole Jim Miller's soul for the Chicago Bears in a playoff game. You took his soul. You know that, right? He was never the same guy after all that.
No, you know, it's funny. I keep hearing that because a friend of mine, Paul Grassmanis, they had their alumni day a couple weeks ago, and a lot of alumni came back, and I remember him telling me that, and he said, yo, man, you know, Jim Miller wasn't the same ever since that.
Nope. He took his soul. Too bad, man.
I told him, I said, well, he should have sat still. I told him to stand still.
Yeah.
Dude, too old for remorse, man.
Too also, too, star of the critically acclaimed Happy Birthday, Harris Mauldin. Hugh Douglas does have his own IMDb page if you want to go see all of his movie credits. Were you in the movie called Leaf?
Leaf. Ryan Leaf story.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
Okay,
never
but you it. Were in it, though.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay, all
that's
right.
what I heard.
There you go. Best tight end you ever played against? Best tight end you ever played against?
I would probably have to say Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp
you
didn't
have
like
cover
the
him?
Block.
You ever have
never
to drop
had
out
to cover him?
Okay.
He was too fast. But Shannon was the type of guy. Here, Tony Gonzalez was good, too. They had a knack for holding without being caught holding.
I used to run into Shannon all the time at Rope Man's Fitness.
Oh, yeah. Shannon's a beast.
I never realized how big his arm. You got huge arms, Hugh?
No, Shannon.
Dude, but his arms just were just ungodly huge.
But Shannon has like, and he.
This I'm not trying to be weird, but
sense
he just
of pride
was.
For him. He has like 2% body fat.
Yeah, he is unbelievable. Shannon, I see him all the time at Rope Man's Fitness, man.
Shannon,
he is.
Shannon used to get on me all the time. And he used to always say, you can't go to Popeye's after you get done eating, after you get done doing your workout. I'd be like, but the chicken tastes so good.
Yeah, he lived over there.
Can't go get a six-piece, Hugh.
I'm sure he doesn't.
Doing a good workout.
I'm sure he's not there anymore, but he used to live off of Wayuka and all that over there.
Yeah.
In the Peachtree and all that.
No,
so.
He used to talk about that all the time. And used to, even when he saw me at the Super Bowl, he's like, come on, Hugh. You're too old to be that big now. You got to start slimming down now, Hugh. All right, then, man, I'm working on it. But that's Shannon in a nutshell. Good dude, though. Really good dude.
Your Mount Rushmore, which is your top four Denzel Washington movies. Mount Rushmore, your top four Denzel Washington movies.
Man, X probably the one.
Okay.
Because it was just, that was powerful. Was it Devil in a Blue Dress? And the reason why I picked Devil in a Blue Dress is because Don Cheadle was in it, and he was his cousin from down south. I think he was from Mississippi.
Devil in a Blue Dress.
I think it was Devil in a Blue Dress, where he called his cousin from down south.
Yes, 1995.
Yes. He called his cousin from down south, and it was Don Cheadle.
World War II vet.
Yes. Dude, and his cousin, and Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle was Mouse Alexander in that movie.
Don Cheadle was, that was probably one of, like, they played off each other well.
All right, so Devil in a Blue Dress.
Man, he made so many good movies, man. What's the one he won an Oscar for?
Training Day.
Oh, yeah, that one. Definitely Training Day.
Okay,
Training
and then Day. Last one.
The last Denzel movie that I liked that he did.
Your four favorites. Because my other one is Man on Fire. Mine is Man
on Fire was good.
Yeah.
I probably have to say.
That's my favorite.
I can't even think, man. I can't even think of one. I would say Equalizer. I'm going to throw the Equalizer in there.
Equalizer, okay. Yeah. I like the Equalizer.
Magnificent Seven wasn't bad either.
Okay.
The remake of the Westerns, he wasn't bad in Magnificent Seven.
It's Pick Hughes' brain here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Your favorite turnover that you made in the NFL? Favorite turnover that you made in the NFL? Whether it's a fumble you recovered, interception you made, anything.
The only interception I ever made, it was in a playoff game.
Oh, okay.
And it was I remember it was in Philadelphia. No, it wasn't a playoff game. It was a regular season game, but it was against the Atlanta Falcons. And who was the quarterback? Chandler. Was Chandler the quarterback at the time?
For the what year?
I know Vic was on the bench because Vic came in the game
after
he threw
Chandler.
That pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vic was on the bench.
Was it 98, 99? He was drafted.
Like 2000
Michael
or something?
Okay, yeah. 2001 was when Mike was drafted.
That's the first pick that I ever got. And I remember Jim Johnson came to the sideline. I came to the sideline, and Jim looked at me like, wow, can't believe you actually caught that. Because it was a laser.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it was. It was like instincts, and I just snatched it out the air.
Nice.
And ran it down the sideline. And I remember acting like I've done it before. But in all reality, I've never done that before and never did it again.
Pick Hughes' brain on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Best restaurant you've ever been to?
The best? Golden Corral. Because they got the buffet. I know my ex-wife's probably listening. I'm like, boy, you are a mess. I've been to some really good ones. What's that one in Miami? Oh, the steakhouse that everybody goes to. Can't remember the name of it. Something Prime right there on South Beach. That was pretty nice. Yeah. Ooh, and Tao. I've been to Tao.
Okay.
Tao in New York. Tao is nice. Expensive.
We'll go with Tao in New York.
Yeah, Tao.
Did you pay or did somebody else pay?
Oh no! It was somebody else paid.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
But boy, that meal right there, that's an expensive meal.
Athlete you tried to emulate when you were growing up?
Bruce Smith.
That was the dude, huh?
Bruce Smith, Reggie White, Mean Joe Green. But it was really Bruce Smith. It was really, really Bruce Smith.
All right. So you're going camping for a week. You're gonna be camping. You're gonna be roughnecking it out in the woods, roughing it, camping. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can take you and any three people that work at 92.9 The Game, producers, hosts, board ops, anybody you want, any three people that work at this radio station, you're going to take with you to go camping in the woods in the wilderness for a week. Who you got? There's one that's obvious.
No, what, Chuck?
There's one person here. There's one person here that grew up in the woods or was out on the West Coast.
Who? Bunky Pants.
Yeah.
Bunky's a little bit. Yeah, Bunky could go. You bunk. And I'll probably say.
Oh, I get invited. Oh, yeah. I get invited. So I don't
probably
get killed.
Say, I would say Randy.
So basically.
Randy, Chuck.
If you run out of food, you just throw me on the fire. Is that how it goes?
I'm just saying Andy, Randy, and Chuck in the woods hanging out. That'd be a good time, though. That'd be an interesting conversation between the four of us,
I have gone, like, my dad and I have gone camping in the West Virginia, you know, in the Appalachians in West Virginia, that we've gone and done that for a week or so. So yeah. I have done that. So, but Andy would be the obvious choice because Andy could tell you what granola to eat and he could, like, eat twigs and tell you what berries to eat.
Like, Andy's lightweight on the sly. He is a nature kid.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he doesn't share that with a lot of people. Andy's an avid runner too. Yeah. But if you ask him, he will swear up and down. Right. He's not that good. Hell, Andy runs about 4 miles a day. That's a runner to me. Yeah. Like if you run about 4 miles a day, you're a runner.
All right, rank them: Sheila E., Pebbles, T. Tina Turner, Tina Marie, Sheila E., and we got to run through these because
Pebbles.
Okay.
Sheila E.
Okay.
Who was the last one you had?
Tina Turner and Tina Marie.
Tina Turner, Tina Marie. Okay. There you go.
Would you rather go skydiving, go in a hot air balloon, submarine in deep water, or space shuttle?
Space shuttle.
That's the one you want to go on?
Yeah. Because okay. That's the unknown. Like, you know, being a submarine, no. Hot air balloon, no.
U.S. sporting. It has to be in the United States. A venue that's on your bucket list to go to. So like Wrigley Field or the Coliseum in L.A. or a stadium or arena or whatever in the United States that you want to go to.
Jerry World.
Jerry World? You haven't been to Jerry World?
I haven't been to Jerry World. Okay. But I heard it's nice. I heard it's really nice. Jerry World.
Okay.
I would say Jerry World.
I want to make sure I save some time. Final question. Thanos comes down, and he tells you he's about to wipe out half of the population of Earth. Okay? Unless you shoulder block and quarterback sack tackle, and he picks four guys.
Oh, here we go. This is when it's going to get real interesting.
He's got Fricky.
I knew it was coming.
Bo Morgan, Carl, and Mike Bell. To save the world, you have to drive one of those guys, block. Well, I didn't even get the question out.
Bo Morgan. Listen, Bo, don't take it personal because I know you're listening like you do every morning. Don't take it personal. These are hypotheticals.
Uh-huh.
But out of the choices that were given to me, you know, you're the odd man out.
Okay.
It's nothing personal.
To save the world. You got to save the world. Bo Morgan's getting driven down into that turf to save the world.
And I know, you know, Noah Bo the way that I do. He's going to have a lot to say after it happens.
Yeah. You'd kill Fricky if you did that. So
I wouldn't do that to Fricky, man. Fricky's a good
dude. Thanos will bring him back with his rings or whatever.
Yeah, Bo's a younger player. He'll get back up.
All right. NFL headlines when we get back. That was Pick Hughes' brain. That's fun stuff. Pick Hughes' brain there. When we get back, NFL headlines, including who Chris Long says is the best football player in the world, and it's not Hugh Douglas. We'll figure that answer out next. Hugh Douglas, John Chuck Green for John Fricky. It is Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on a Friday. It is John Chuckery. Last day for me filling in for John Fricky. Hugh Douglas in the house.
Yay.
Monday it's back to the grind, so hopefully your M16 will be working, Hugh, as you fight through the rice patties.
I'll be fine.
I'll be sure to send you some pics when I'm on.
Thank you. And I will receive them and be as positive as I can be.
I agree.
Awesome pics. Awesome summer pics.
Can't wait for it all.
I can't wait for you to have fun on your vacation.
Yeah. I got news for you. I'm just going to completely decompress, and I'm so ready to.
As you should, man. As you should. Vacation time is the time where, you know, you get to spend with your family and kind of get away from it a little bit. Just get away from everything for a little while.
Yep.
You know, because football season's coming up, and we're expecting it to be a great football season. So, yeah, I want to get away before all that happens.
So, some NFL headlines to get into, Hugh. So, Chris Long says that Aaron Donald is the best football player in the world. Your thoughts, Hugh Douglas?
Aaron Donald's a beast, man. I know. I think I don't know where he opened it up at, but he opened up. I think it's in Pittsburgh. He opened up the Aaron Donald Training Center or something like that. Did it a couple weeks ago. I remember seeing it on the Instagram feed. The way that this young man works and the work that he has put in such a short period of time, man. I mean, it's safe to say that he's going to be a Hall of Famer. No question about that. He's one of the most dominant interior defensive linemen that's played the game, probably since Warren Sapp.
You know, our buddy Rob Tribble talks about that 1-2. Is there anybody that's got more 1-2 than Aaron Donald?
You know what the unfortunate thing about it is? He plays a position. Like, he's the most dominant player on the field. But you would have some that would argue that he is not the most important player on the field. So, therefore, he can't be the best player on the field. Because when you talk about how your fortunes can change if you got that guy under center, that's the only hang up that you would probably have about calling him the best football player.
Well, the old and this is, you know, my favorite Chuck Smith saying, and Chuck said this, you know, such a long time ago. You know, the pecking order of pay in the NFL is the quarterback gets paid the most. The guy who sacks the quarterback gets paid the second most, and the guy who protects the quarterback gets paid the third most.
That sounds about right.
And that's kind of the way that pecking order of the NFL is. So, you know, if you can sack the quarterback or protect the quarterback, you're going to be right in line to get paid. And there's a reason why Aaron Donald also gets paid a lot of money because he can sack the quarterback.
Yeah, man. And you're talking about a guy that is a true difference maker at that position. You know, it's one of those things. When you watch him work, man, it's phenomenal. You know, it's a couple guys that I played with or played in the same era as that you looked at that you just knew they were about that life.
Mm-hmm.
John Randall was one of them. Another one was Dwight Freeney. Dwight Freeney on that spin move coming off that corner, couldn't stop it. Could not stop it. Jason Taylor was a good player, too. Jason Taylor was a hell of a player coming off that corner. And he was one of those guys that, you know, he could play anywhere out there on that field. He was that type of athlete. You just had some guys, man, that when they went out there and they did their job, they were just hard to beat. They were hard to contend with.
You know, I interviewed Aaron Donald right before the draft, and you could just tell, just even talking to him, at that point he was still I call him a kid, you know, at that point still, but you could just tell. I mean, he had that drive, and he's such a great kid, and just easy to root for. Very, very easy to root for. Now, Peyton Manning, former NFL quarterback, think he's going to get in the front office somewhere, Peyton Manning, at some point?
I think the beautiful thing about what Peyton has done for his in his career and in the other side, being on the other side of football, is position himself to do whatever it is that Peyton wants to do. You talk about some of the distribution centers they have down there. What's the beer distribution centers they have down there in Louisiana?
He got out of the Papa John's, right?
I think he did.
I think he sold all that off. Or no, mm-hmm. Was it Papa John's? Yeah, Papa John's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sold all that off.
Yeah, but you talk about the Manning family has done a great job of having their hands on almost every influential quarterback that's in the NFL right now or coming into the NFL. You talk about all the young quarterbacks that learn their skills. They probably go to the Peyton Manning passing camp that they throw right every year. Like the Manning family has put themselves in position. And you talk about Cooper's son that's coming up that's playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've put themselves in a position where there's probably not a whole lot that they couldn't do, and they're going to be asked to do things that they probably wouldn't even have thought of back when they were playing. Like GM, head coach, CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Who knows? Like, you just don't know with the Manning family.
I'm going to get to his comment here in just a second, but what I've said about Peyton Manning is, I don't think Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL, but I don't think anybody played the position of quarterback better than Peyton Manning. When you talk about like all of the duties and functions that a quarterback has, I don't think there's ever been a guy in history, from looking and reading defenses to checking down to, I still think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time because mm-hmm. of all the success that he's had. But when you talk about physically playing the position, I don't think anybody ever physically played it better than Peyton because of all the things he could do.
You know, it's funny. I understand why you're saying that, because we have been groomed to be into the huddle with Peyton and see all the different calls that he makes and all those other things. I would venture to say Tom Brady does the same thing. It's just that we don't get a chance to see it as much.
Right.
Because we are reveling in the greatness that is Tom Brady. But when you talk about the different pieces that he's played with over the years and how certain receivers come in there and they pick up the system well and some of them don't, and how he's integrated them into the program, I would say Tom Brady's on par with that. It's just that we are so used to hearing that Omaha call from Peyton, and the fact that he's so instrumental in lining people up and knowing where people are and everything like that. They're the same guy, but Peyton's more demonstrative leader, I would say.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
That's just wrong. You. I'm right.
No, I'm just saying. I know exactly where you're coming from. Because when you look at NFL films and all that,
I think Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time.
All you hear is Omaha. Check with me. All of that.
Listen, if I'm starting my franchise, there's nobody over Tom Brady I would take to start my franchise. Now, Peyton Manning, to finish the thought, says that Von Miller is the best athlete that he ever played with. You talk about
a beast.
By the way, you talk about a beast.
Von's a beast.
Whew.
But you're talking about,
my goodness,
like when you think about the position of D tackle and think about a guy like Fletcher Cox and what makes him great. He's a man among boys. He's a mismatch for most guys that he plays with in the middle. So much so that he has to. There's always two blockers with him. Same thing with Aaron Donald. But Aaron Donald's like what, 6'2", 285 pounds.
Yeah.
Soaking wet.
Yeah, he's not the prototypical type guy.
No, he's not.
In that position.
And John Randall was in that same frame.
Yep.
John Randall wasn't a big dude. Mm-mm. He was not a big dude.
But boy, did he have a motor, if you want to call motor or whatever you want to call
that
thing.
That want to. Yeah. Like John, like, and you're talking about in a game where bigger is better, to have guys that are smaller and that are just as effective as a bigger guy. Like, hats off to that. Like, it's like this. Like, you know how when you see, you know, since we work out a lot, when you see a little dude in the gym that's cut up, looks nice. That's not impressive to me, though, because you're a little dude.
Yes.
Like, be a big dude.
No, listen.
Like, be over 200 pounds and still be shredded like that.
Can I give the one that drives me crazy? These little dudes that get on the chin-up bar and they start chinning up.
Yeah.
And I did this one time years ago back in the steroid-induced. I was, you know, a-hole kicking, a-hole jerkweed guy at Main Event Fitness. The little dude that loves to do the chin-ups and how many he can do. I said, okay.
Oh, yeah, like the little CrossFit guy, the CrossFit guru.
You know what I did? I put the waistband on him that has the chains.
And I do it now.
And I said, okay, let me put the extra 90 pounds on you. Now let me see how many you can do.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not impressed.
None. Didn't do any.
I'm not impressed with
Let me put my body weight on you, because I could do, like, you know, at that time, three or four or whatever. Let me put my body weight on you and then show me how many you can do.
I'm not impressed with a stick figure that's cut up.
I did that at the gym to a guy. I said, I'm going to put my body weight on you, and then let's see how many you pull yourself up.
Oh, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Gosh darn right. Anyway, sorry.
No, I get you. I'm with that. Be a big dude.
I was that a-hole in the gym, by the way, too, back in those days.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel you on that.
When we get back, Braves, yes. When we get back, Braves lose 9-7, start a series in New York. We'll get to all of that next. Don't do chin-ups as a little guy in front of me. I'm not impressed. Sorry. Hugh Douglas, John Chuck for John Franke on Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Day game in Wrigley, you know, it's a dream come true to be here, you know, pitching a, you know, historic park, you know, like Wrigley. And it's just was really cool.